I just believe that every Georgian should have the freedom to decide when and if they want to have a family. I mean, there are hospitals that have teams of people that meet to discuss whether or not care can be given. And we know women have died in this state because of the lack of quick care.
Welcome to Lawmaker Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community.
In 1922, 2 years after the 19th Amendment passed, giving women the right to vote, Georgia elected its first women in the General Assembly. Currently, 13 out of 56 state senators are women, and more than 60 out of the 180 members of the House are female. These dynamic women, they wield influence, and some of them are in leadership positions. Republican Representative Beth Camp of Concord, she chairs the Judiciary Juvenile, and her other committees include Ways and Means and Agriculture and Consumer Affairs. Also with us is Democratic Representative Shea Roberts of Atlanta. Among her committee assignments are Judicial Non-Civil, Governmental Affairs, and Creative Arts and Entertainment. Welcome to you both, to lawmakers this year. So I'm going to start with you, Chairman Camp. You have a bill to provide state employees who are biological women with hormone replacement therapy. Why do you think this legislation is needed?
Well, it codifies that the state health care plan would provide coverage for women needing HRT, hormone replacement therapy, with the black box label warning removed from hormone replacement therapy. I think it's important just to make sure that women who are in the state health care plan, which are a lot of women, teachers are included, state employees, a lot of others, it gives actually an opportunity for those women to make sure they have what they need. As we age, our hormones change, and we're not all built to be 25 forever. And bone density and muscle density and cognitive ability, there's, you know, incontinence, there's all kinds of things that are very important for women's health that hormone replacement have shown time and time again to be helpful with.
And right now, state insurance doesn't cover that.
Does not fully cover it.
Okay.
Some aspects, yes, but not all aspects.
So what would your bill do? Cover all of it?
It would cover all of it, yes.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about, you have more to talk about coming up. Representative Roberts, you and five other Democratic female lawmakers want to gain once again a big one, sweeping rewrite of the Georgia law on abortion and reproductive health. This is something you fought for years,
yes.
Every year since 2019 in the heartbeat bill. So
yes.
isn't it still an uphill battle? What do you think?
It is an uphill battle, but I think it's really important that we continue to fight because I just believe that every Georgian should have the freedom to decide when and if they want to have a family. I mean, we are facing affordability crises right now and forcing women to have children that they're not ready for, can't afford. It's just one more thing that we need to look at. And then there's the whole health crisis. You know, doctors and lawyers have to confer at critical care times when women are in the middle of miscarrying and we've got bad health outcomes. We know Amber Nicole Thurman, Adriana Smith. You know, these stories are real and the people are real here. And So I will continue to fight for it because, you know, I've told my own abortion story publicly. I was pregnant and my baby was incompatible with life. We wanted it. But I was able to make that choice because my doctor and my perinatologist said you're 37 and it's hard on your body and you have two little ones at home. And so, you know, we recommend that you terminate. And my husband and I had a hard decision to make, but we did. And my daughters, now 22 and 25, can't make the same healthcare decisions I can. It's time for us to put these decisions back in the hands of women and their doctors.
Okay. I know it's personal for you, and so thank you once again for sharing this. We'll talk about more specifics in a moment.
Okay.
I want to switch to a hearing you had today on one of your bills. Tell us about the bills. It deals with contraception.
Yes, it is actually a great bill because it gives accessibility to women. So women can make some more choices in their lives. For example, we have 82 counties that do not have OBGYNs. in our state, which is astounding. So this bill allows pharmacists to operate at the top of their licensure and prescribe contraception, including Depo-Provera. And so most individuals and communities have, there's a pharmacy. If there's not a doctor in town, there's generally a pharmacy. Even box stores have pharmacies, grocery stores have pharmacies. So it's a wonderful opportunity for people to have more access to that health care. This bill also would allow individuals to get more than just a month at a time, and their insurance or Medicaid cover it. So if they could get up to 12 months at a time. So someone who's unbanked, someone who's a gig worker, someone who doesn't have transportation. There are a lot of opportunities for individuals to be able to get contraception and have that discussion with a healthcare professional, a pharmacist.
Are there any other states that have done the same thing where you bypass the doctor essentially?
Well, it's not bypassing.
You still have to go to the doctor.
Well, they still recommend you have a pap smear and get all the checkups that anyone else would normally get. But 36 other states have provisions that allow pharmacists to prescribe contraception. And there's things, that was one of the questions today, there are medical reasons why a pharmacist might not be able to. If you have a family history of breast cancer or ovarian cancer, if you have a history of blood clots, if you're a smoker, if, you know, perhaps you don't have a lifestyle that you might need to get another form of birth control. Maybe you're not going to remember to take the pill every day or something along those lines. You need to talk to your gynecologist to get perhaps an IUD or make other decisions about contraception.
So you'll have to give your medical history to your pharmacist.
They probably already have it. Okay. My pharmacist knows a lot about me. They know every medication that I've taken for the past 15 years, and they have a lot of information on me, and I'm sure yours does as well.
I'll think about that. You may be right. Representative Roberts,
yes.
Your bill would mean a legal shift in investigating and prosecuting pregnancy outcomes. So how would that work?
Well, it would take criminalization of doctors and women out of the mix. So doctors could go back to practicing the standard of care that they and follow their oath. A lot of times they're feeling like they're being asked to deny the standard of care that they were trained to give their patients. And so that's put them in really difficult positions. I mean, there are hospitals that have teams of people that meet to discuss whether or not care can be given. And we know women have died in this state because of the lack of quick care. And so it's just really important that we remove the prosecution side of things. We tend to be trying to criminalize a lot of our professions these days. I was in lots of hearings this week about librarians, trying to criminalize them. So it just seems like we could support them and make sure that we're not, as legislators, we're not practicing medicine without a license. I feel like that's kind of what we've been doing a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I want to ask you about your contraception bill. Would it, you're going to follow other states, but mm-hmm. would you still need to have some doctors involved at some point?
Yes, the state composite medical board, and also I'm sure the Department of Public Health would be involved to some degree, and the pharmacy board. They're all going to come together, and in other states they set up a protocol of what questions are to be asked and what facilitates a yes and what facilitates you need to go see your doctor. So everyone is going to be very deeply involved. There's going to be continuing education for the pharmacist. The Georgia Association of OBGYNs came in today. They support this bill because, I know, you look shocked. They
yes.
support this bill because they going back to, there are 82 counties without an OBGYN and out of 159. They can't get to everyone they need to get to. And they deal with complex pregnancies. They deal with other women's health care needs. Someone simply needing to be put on the pill or to a patch, that doesn't always necessitate going to the doctor. And so they recognize this could be a great partnership to make sure women get the health care they need. Our licensing in our state, our pharmacists are doctors. And so this would allow them to operate at the top of their licensure.
Okay, so did you have any of them talk about the bill today?
Pharmacist or OBGYN?
Pharmacist.
No, but they are supportive of the bill, of the measure. It's not a mandate. All pharmacists do not have to do this. So if you're at home, you do not have to do this if you're a pharmacist.
That's what I was going to ask.
But it does give them an opportunity. And I know, talking to my pharmacist, I'm able to get a lot of information and advice. And so I would feel comfortable doing it. And I think a lot of people would.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.